The Guardian.
We're standing at the end of a long corridor in Dulwich Picture Gallery in South London, England's oldest art gallery. And we're in an exhibition of American art from the Phillips Academy in Massachusetts. It's a collection which goes from the middle of the 19th century to the middle of the 20th. And I'm standing at the moment right next to Frederick Church's Mount Katahdin, a sort of evening sunlit painting of a wilderness in New England in 1856. And if I look down the corridor to this sort of corridor with bays which the exhibition is held, which runs the length of the building, I see at the far end of this long corridor what looks like a grey mirror. It's a long way off. How long is this corridor, you might ask? Well, it reaches from the middle of the 1850s to the middle of the 1940s. And on our way, we pass Whistler's painting of old Battersea Bridge, American painters in Europe visiting the Valley of the Seine. We pass a fabulous Edward Hopper of a man walking along a road by a bridge in Manhattan. And then there is the line of a Georgia O'Keeffe and the moonlight reflected in the eyes of a wolf by Frederick Remington, painted in 1909. It's a long corridor that brings us into the 20th century, past Charles Sheeler's factory chimneys, Adolf Gottlieb's takes on Jean Miró, until at last we arrive and the grey mirror resolves itself into a painting by Jackson Pollock. It's not that big. You could fit it under your arm and walk away with it. It's grey and not grey. It's a mirror and not a mirror. Up close, the surface heaves. It's called Phosphorescence and it was painted in 1947. The grey is, in fact, aluminium paint that's been worked and dribbled and spattered over many, many layers of orange and red and rust colour, yellow, a cheap purple. The surface is gnarly with paint, curdled with it. It's a thick painting, unlike what 2 or 3 years later than this painting, Clement Greenberg would call Pollock's Baroque scrawls. This is more of a kind of heaving mat of a painting. These openings through the flat aluminium, the paint more like the stuff you'd find in the garage or the garden shed rather than in an artist's supply store. The aluminium kind of spattering all over this thick lumps of stuff that come straight from the tube and have shriveled as they've dried. And amongst the aluminium, a more liquid red that seems to be that sort of poured like honey, slightly gloopy, sticky. And amongst that, black. Here and there, not so much touches as little pools and runs of black enamel that too shrivels up as it dries, like orange skin, and it's shiny. The aluminium is flatter, denser, non-reflective, even though from a distance it looks mirror-like. And again, through and over, and it's difficult sometimes to tell what is painted over and under, sometimes both. A white is painted over silver, then silver is spattered again over the white. And the whole thing goes over a red, but then there again I see the red going over the white somewhere else. All over the painting, keeping the rhythm up, all over. The kind of breathiness of it is constant throughout. And at the very bottom, the black, that runny thick enamel, sort of makes a signature of Pollock. the white is the most important, I guess, or the flourish at the very end, even though he's kind of worked back into it. Thick rain of white going down the canvas. Of course, he didn't paint it on the wall. He might have painted some of it on the wall. You can see from the runs that it's been placed upright while it was still wet, that he's painted it flat on the floor and then put it back on the easel or the wall, maybe taken it down again, had a look at it, turned it around, walked around it. In 1947, he hadn't yet begun those huge, all-enveloping canvases which seemed to suck him into it, as they suck us into it as he painted them. He came on later to say, I don't paint nature, I am nature. And some critics have seen in these paintings a hint of the fractal geometries of chaos theory. Well, I don't know if Pollock said he ever said he painted chaos, but he certainly was chaos. Born in 1912, he was dead by 1956, a drunk, washed up as a painter, in his own estimation at least. He drove into a tree out at the farm at Springs, where he lived on Long Island. Phosphorescence wasn't his title. It was given to him, to the paintings of the late 40s, by someone else. As much as it's like the glimmer of light on the sea at night, phosphorescence is a kind of different kind of glow. Up close, with my nose just a few inches from the canvas, it surrounds me in a kind of scream, a scream of paint. A bebop scream, maybe. It's Pollock like listening to jazz. And this rain of white, these skeins and filigrees and webs of white, with each fast track of bone-like whiteness, rather like, the supporting arcs of a cobweb. It's hard to see where you are in it. Pollock was discussed by Clement Greenberg as being about flatness, and someone else said, flat, you could drive a spaceship through it. And indeed, when you're up close to them, you feel like you could stick your arm in, beyond the white, into the space between these spatters of black and yellows and mauves and blues and reds, all that sort of heaving mat of colour. But it resists you too. It's speeding away from you. The closer I get, the further the painting away seems to get. No matter how physical the lumps of paint on the surface are, where he's just kind of made arcs, wristy arcs of it with, well, squeezing the tube direct onto the canvas, the most sort of priapic and the most atavistic and the most kind of fecal play. And the paintings have indeed been discussed in terms of their kind of basic animalistic qualities. Pollock wasn't just Jack the Dripper, he was an intelligent artist. He knew what he was doing. And although action painting was something that often kids at primary school are dressed up in aprons and given all sorts of sticks and bits of paint and bits of collage material in order to do for themselves in a kind of orgy of self-expression, I think Pollock was trying to express something more than himself. Himself perhaps, but himself in the world, in nature, in the chaos of the 20th century, which he did not survive. But the paintings do, and they are still, I suppose, modern. They're still here and now, as well as there and then. They're not just album covers to old Charlie Parker albums. They sing, and this one, Phosphorescence, is as lively as any. Stepping back a bit, those whites on the surface are a whirlwind blizzard. They track Pollock's physical movement and his thought, and atoms and feelings. A great rush of energy. Walking back away, I can feel it. I can feel the painting perhaps. Looking back at me, the hairs on my neck rising, as if I were being followed.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.